This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Rhys Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. After the top five at five, some news about Jason Kelce's condition at the Super Bowl.
Travis Kelce. Huh?
Travis Kelce.
I was about to say, what?
Sorry. Oh, what's the
Jason
difference?
Jason Kelce was probably just had a couple beers.
No.
Well, that's when you say condition, that's what
sorry,
I thought about.
Sorry, Travis Kelce's condition. The other Kelce. But before that, everyone's favorite part of the WIP Afternoon Show.
Each the five.
Number five.
At five.
Five.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, five. Beautiful five.
So Elliot right now is fighting for his life in text messages on the airplane.
Paul George thing.
About the Paul George thing.
Yeah.
Now he has spotty Wi-Fi, so he cannot bring up the tweet, and he cannot defend himself that well.
There's no way to defend himself.
Hold on, you've been in contact with him?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, because I had to. You know, I had to send him the tweet, and he's like, Paul George is not my number one priority. I was a Brandon Ingram guy.
He backed off Brandon Ingram. By the way, he asked me off air. He was like, Brandon Ingram. I'm like, dude, first of all, they're not going to trade for Brandon Ingram. Second of all, he's not it. But I don't even think Brandon Ingram's played this year, by the way.
He's a Raptor, too.
Yeah.
And I said, you can't say any of that after the tweet that he put out.
Yes.
And he said, I absolutely can.
No.
Yeah, he can't.
No. Nope.
He's done. He loses the Paul George
argument. And if he was a Brandon Ingram guy, Brandon Ingram only had a year left on and didn't even play this year.
Yeah, I know.
So,
yeah.
All right.
Now we'll bring him in tomorrow.
Okay.
After my lotta.
Yeah. Eviscerate that tiny dancer. That's well, I want you
tiny
to play.
Tiny dancer.
When he comes in, I want Elton John's Tiny Dancer every time.
That's a great Elton John song.
Yes, it is.
What's your go-to Elton John song?
Daniel.
I'm a Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatter's guy.
Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. You one of those guys?
Yeah. Philadelphia Freedom.
You're an Elton John guy? What's your Elton? Goodbye Yellow Brick Road? Maybe that
he
one?
He has to have a popular one or two that I know.
Oh, yeah.
Candle in the Wind?
Candle in the Wind.
Oh, Rocket Man.
Rocket Man?
There you go. Sounds like a new top five.
Yeah.
Anyway, the top five best Elliot Shore Parks arguments,
right,
of which he has many. And the one that what made me think of this is him yesterday saying the pushing actually doesn't matter on the tush push.
Right.
Which is not in his, pantheon of great takes.
But it should be.
But
yeah.
It shows the kind of take ship that he usually has here. So number five.
It's called the tush push.
Yes.
Okay.
Number five is that Queen Elizabeth is the most famous person in the world. Which was an infuriating, most famous person of all time.
Of all time.
Ahead of Jesus.
Yes.
Ahead of, vaults to the top is Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I've actually argued with him about this more off air than anything I've ever argued with him about. And I said, Elliot, let me ask you this. If you just took a photo of Queen Elizabeth and a photo of Taylor Swift out onto the street, and I'm just talking about Taylor Swift, who probably isn't the most famous person of all time, and you ask people who is who, how many people would identify Taylor Swift or the Queen? And he goes, well, that doesn't matter. And I said, Elliot, that's what famous means.
Yeah, what does he think
famous
is?
Do we even think Elliot could identify Queen Elizabeth in a lineup of 10 old ladies.
I know.
It's, do we think he could?
Also, I just want to know how he came up with that. It's, you know, he's sitting there in Europe because he went there to see the Spice Girls.
That's what it was.
And he's like, you know what? Queen Elizabeth, actually the most famous person of all time.
Yeah, it is.
That's definitely what it was because he went to England, right?
Yeah.
It has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be.
My fourth favorite Elliott Shore Park's argument is that the Eagles need a dome.
It's the worst.
No one agrees with them, besides maybe Jeffrey Lurie.
Yeah, we did ask Jeffrey that at the Super Bowl.
He did. Because he wanted more ammunition.
Yeah.
And then he took this half-hearted like answer from Jeffrey Lurie, and he goes, there it is. That means the Eagles are getting a dome.
And said off the air to me, that was the quote of the night, right? Like, you know, he was so proud of his little question.
Well, I saw Elliott talking about Jeffrey Lurie's answer, and I was like, wow, that's amazing, Lurie. And then I went and I listened to the answer, and I said, Elliott, he doesn't concede to this at all. And Elliott says, it can't be a retractable dome for good weather.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
It cannot be a retractable dome, even if it's nice out. You know, if it's an October game where it's 52 degrees, 48 degrees, nice out, nah.
Can you imagine the level of complaining as a fan base we would do if they put a dome in this city?
I actually think we'd give back one of the Super Bowls to make sure that we never got a dome in Philadelphia.
I do agree with his point that once it was there, we would probably all like it. But nobody would like it beforehand.
Nobody would like that idea. These fans want to be outside watching football.
It makes us tougher.
Yes. And this isn't Florida.
Dude, the snow game this year is all time.
Imagine you're going to rob fans of that snow. That playoff game was beautiful.
It added to the aura around the game.
I think the only, aside from when I was in college and going to see games at the Carrier Dome, the only professional dome game I was ever at was the Super Bowl in 2018. And I was
in Minnesota,
and I was struck about how much it sucked.
Yeah.
Oh, dome
being
suck.
Inside. It's like you're watching a football game in a mall.
Dome out there.
Yes. That was cold like I've never felt before. Yes. I lived in Chicago, but the cold hurt in
Minneapolis. Yeah, man.
Well, I thought it was going to ruin. I was, my friend Amos is a singer, and I was with him at the game, and we were going to, idiots, we were going to take an Uber to dinner afterwards, not realizing to get an Uber outside the Super Bowl might be hard. So we had a walk.
That really is dumb.
Yes. We had a walk maybe 15 minutes. He's a singer and has asthma.
Oh my God.
I said, this is the end of his career.
Yeah.
This is the end of his career.
They literally were advising people not to be outside that long.
And some of the, you know, some of the city you can walk through, we walk through that, the tunnels.
Like the tunnel thing. Yeah.
I thought it was the end. I thought it was the end of Amos. I was like, oh man, his career's done. Ooh. Walking to dinner.
Yeah.
That was brutal cold.
Yes. It was horrible.
No domes. Yeah. Stop it.
But by the way, it doesn't really get that cold here. I mean,
no, exactly.
Here, no.
No.
This winter, this has been the first winter in years where it's gotten really, really cold for an extended period of time.
My oil company is all over that. My third favorite Elliott Shore Park's argument is he could luck into a home run in Major League Baseball. Now, this is an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah.
The infamous now tweet that baseball Twitter does bring up a lot.
Yes.
Because they get very snarky about that tweet, is that Elliott Shore Park's said that he could rush for a touchdown in the NFL.
Yeah.
He could score a basket in the NBA, and he could luck.
We know that couldn't happen.
No,
and he could luck into a home run, but he could never score a goal in hockey.
And
what, well, the hardest of all those is the damn home run, right? Yeah.
If you played him 25 minutes a game for 82 games a year, they would leave him open.
Yeah, he'll eventually score.
He would make a shot.
Yeah.
I assume, you know, if Kenny Pickett can get ragdolled into the end zone, I guess Elliott could get a yard.
Get touch pushed in there.
And he is taking boxing classes now.
Yes. Yeah. You could give Elliott a million swings and he would never luck
never
into a home
that
run.
Ball over the wall.
In a major league game against a major league pitcher?
Against a major league pitcher? He wouldn't even be able to stand in the batter's box.
He couldn't even hit Jack when we went out to South Philly.
I'm not even good anymore.
Yes. You're washed.
I know.
You're cooked like Paul George.
11-year-old nephew said so too.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
He said, hey, thank you so much for the advice. That was the problem. I'm not a good teacher though. I'm a me guy.
Right.
Yeah. All right. My second favorite Elliott argument is that players should be able to bet on themselves. I mean,
that's a classic.
That's
too.
Number two.
Yeah, it's number two.
That's it's one worse than that.
Didn't you say refs should be able to bet too? When I put that to him.
I think he was just, he dug a hole.
He's like, sure,
refs, they can bet too.
He has no leg to stand on players betting on their own game.
It is probably the worst take of all.
I don't know how it's not number one. I can't even think of which one is one, but the fact that he wants players to be allowed to bet on sports that they can have an impact on the outcome of the games.
Well, and his point is they wouldn't because of all the money they're making, and then there's just instances of it happening. It did happen. Yeah.
Yes, it's happening.
Michael Porter Jr.'s brother was like texting people that he was going to miss all his shots in the second half. Yeah.
And I want to know where I was in that group chat.
Yes, yeah.
Who was the one guy who played for the Raptors?
That was him.
Oh, that was John Tate Porter.
Yeah, okay, yes, John Tate Porter. Yep.
Unbelievable. But number one, I think still, because it's my favorite, but it's training camp stats mattering. I mean, him sitting there charting it, him on his victory lap this year with the 67 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, the putting the Wilt number out there with Jalen on it for the most consecutive passes without an interception. I mean, it's a masterclass.
Yeah, that was a little much. I still would have the gambling at one over it.
I would, because there's part of me that does think the training camp stats, they're not the be-all, end-all, but I do think it's interesting.
He's convinced us.
Yeah.
I actually look forward to him.
But him saying that Jalen's performance this year is proof of it.
Right, that's where he... Yeah.
When after 4 weeks he was turning the ball over so much, they changed the offense. That part of it, I can't... And he doesn't back down on anything.
No,
he goes with the completion percentage.
Yep.
I guess he threw the fewest amount of interceptions of his career.
Yes.
This year.
Yes,
so he thinks that's a indicator.
But he also threw the fewest number of passes.
Yes. Don't let the details get in the way.
He does have a lot of those, man.
Yeah.
He does. Well, you know what? We had our planning meeting today. We didn't talk about Elliot.
Elliot week?
Elliot week. We were going to have Elliot week this summer where we have Elliot in every day to battle on one. Maybe we use these arguments.
Yeah.
Maybe and have people battle Elliot on one of his ridiculous takes.
Yeah.
Because the summer.
I like that.
We got to build in Elliot week.
We'll build, and at the end, the kicker was we're going to have a psychiatrist listen to the entire week and then give us an evaluation at the end of it as to trying to figure out more about him.
Maybe it's how we launch Eagle season. Maybe we do it in August during the preseason.
Yeah, I like it.
And that's when we do Elliot week.
Because that is Elliot season.
That is Elliot season. And then once the opening kickoff happens, then he's useless.
Yeah, yes. I was going to say, how about... I mean, that week after the last preseason game.
That could be it.
For the first game.
That could be Elliot week.
But the problem is, before the first game? Okay, the week. Yeah, not the game week.
Not the game week. Yeah.
Well, we were talking about for Radiothon, for Eagles Autism Challenge, like what items we could have as a station. Maybe just punch Elliot in the stomach.
A permanent dunk tank?
Punching Elliot?
Yeah. Or maybe his he could autograph his tiny shoes for someone. Mm. Auction off his tiny shoes.
I want to see him in his boxing class, see what he looks like.
Go to boxing class with Elliot?
Yeah. I want to see what that looks like.
We said, weren't we going to send Tucker to videotape
video
Elliot?
Of him?
Yeah, boxing class.
We sent Buzz all the way up to New York.
Yeah.
Perfectly fine.
We can send Tucker to the boxing class.
Tucker and Morgenstein, get over there.
Get over there. This hour is brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big winter sale. Through February, get 40% off all windows and doors. Call 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. Yoshi and Brewery Town, you are on WIP.
My man Spike, Big Ike, Jackie, baby, happy Wednesday.
Oh, listen to you. You're using the phone like normal. It sounds so good.
Hey, man, I said, you know what? I'm going to just start calling a little bit later. I'm going to get in the house because... I mean, y'all got a brother feeling good, man. It's like when my wife happy with me, you know.
You know
what I'm talking about. When your wife happy with you, man, you know, can't nothing go wrong.
It's been a while for me.
I was gonna say I'm not familiar with that feeling.
Yeah, you got the Bluetooth. Why it's been a while for you? You got the Bluetooth. Come on now.
That hammer is real, for real.
Come on, man. Come on, Nick Saban said. Nick Saban had said I had a whatever. Come on, man. Get it right. Oh, man. Hey, man. What's the name?
It's a fair point. That's a fair point by you. I got to get it right.
I'm telling you, boy. What's the name? You better take two. Come on now. Get it right. Hey, Spike, that tiny shoe, tiny toes thing, boy, you got me dying with that. Like, all I see is the little doll baby on and stuff, man. Like, I am in here cracking up, man. I really think Elliot be trolling y'all, man, especially you, Spike. Let me say this to touch a nerve. Because it just be like, yo, where did he come? And then Spike just go off on. I'm like, yo, he is trolling him, man. Yeah,
drives everybody crazy, man.
Yeah.
Drives everybody crazy, man. And, yo, real quick, man, let me get this out. As a proud member of the delegation, I'm so proud of you, man. Ain't nobody came at your neck in months.
What happened?
I'm sitting here. You have been naming rap songs when you hear them.
Yeah.
Rappers. When you got the house party, what's name line right the other day when Corey hit it?
Yeah.
I was like, listen to my boy.
Yeah. I had to go redeem myself, Yosh. I had to redeem myself, man. I did.
Do the blue shoes help with memory? Bro, you've been killing everything is in focus. Uh-huh.
Sang Al Green today. Come on now.
Well, I was like, what? Come on, man. Hey, now, one thing you did get wrong today, though, and this ain't with the delegation. What? Brandon Graham got a son and a daughter, not two daughters.
Did I say two daughters?
He had a little boy. Yeah, you said what's in heaven? Wife, dad, two daughters. I was like,
Oh, yeah. That was a slip of the tongue, yeah.
Yeah. But ain't nobody mad at you about that. I ain't want you to see Brandon and be like, How your little girl's doing?
No, because I met his kids 1,000 times. I couldn't even believe I said that. Yeah, I didn't even realize I said that.
I don't want you to mess up on that. Yep. And Spike, man, you had me with that argument. I was like, man, what's next? Heck yeah, he white. That boy white, man. I was white. About to say, pull over, Ike, let me get out the car. I was about to get in the front seat, but then Ike came down in true Big Ike Eagles form, swept down and killed it. And I said, that's why I'm riding shotgun with my big homie. That makes more sense. It's a great argument, Spike.
You're talking about the argument at the beginning of the show about getting a star. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the beginning of the show, man. That was excellent, man. It was excellent. And then I said you make a good argument. I was ready to get in the car with you, but damn.
Yeah, he almost changed my mind before I even got to say something.
That was the first time Ike was like, Ike looked like I stunned him a little bit with a hook or a straight jab. And he was like, all right, I got to get myself together before I get back in the middle of the ring.
So, you know, it's a great argument. You got me looking at your car. Wondering if the heated seat's working and everything. But I'm still riding shotgun with Ike. I'm still over there with you, Ike.
There you go.
Great argument, though, babe. Hey, man, what's name? Hey, and shout out to Jalen Hurts. He's not only an elite quarterback, but he's an elite citizen also. And I love it.
The
winners just keep on winning.
He was named Citizen of the Year in Philadelphia last night.
Yeah, he got from a charity organization for the air conditioners.
Okay. Gave him all the accolades.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Hey, I had to put you on, baby. I had to put you on. You remember a lot of other stuff, though.
Appreciate
it. That don't count. You're still winning. Hey, man, I love y'all, cats. Happy Wednesday. We still have Super Bowl champs, baby.
There you go. Two times.
Go Birds.
All right, Yosh.
Yo, how much better are Yoshi's calls with him on the phone rather than the speakerphone?
I can't believe we've been dealing with it for like 4 or 5 years
now. He's a great caller always, but when you can't hear half of what he's saying... You know, now
got him right.
He's excellent. Yeah. I love it.
And he said he waits till he gets home to make sure he calls from the phone. Yeah.
I love
there you
it.
Go.
So I mentioned Travis Kelce being sick. I said Jason Kelce, actually, but I meant Travis. This is per Brett Veach of the NFL Insiders podcast. Travis Kelce was battling, quote, a pretty big illness before the Super Bowl, according to the Kansas City Chiefs general manager. We're never going to make excuses and talk about it, but I mean, he was battling with a big illness before the Super Bowl. So
wasn't half our team sick?
Well, they were all week. And you know who's famous for this is actually Joel Embiid. They go, hey, I'm not making any excuses. And then they give literally what is an excuse. So I understand it. Sometimes you're hurt. Sometimes you're sick. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Was he battling an illness all season? No. he had a bad season, too.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
It's called getting old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe his focus, maybe he should take a lesson from Podcast P.
Drop the pod?
A little too much Swifty?
Well, he's making...
Well, what, and the New Heights
pod.
Podcast.
The pod.
And the podcast.
Yeah, you know, he's...
Forgot about that, yes.
Yeah, like
spends more time with that than he does Taylor. Taylor's only in town...
Yeah, she's touring.
Back out of town. Yeah.
Like, think about it this way. Paul George put the team first.
Yes.
By putting the podcast away.
Yes.
Yeah, he only waited to the end of the season.
Yeah, 20 and 37. Yes.
So, and the best part about Paul George focusing on the team and his health is that I would bet in the next 7 days that Paul George is dealing with an injury and not playing, and that he doesn't play the rest of the year. Because they are going to... The Embiid thing was the signal,
right.
and they know now.
They shut it down.
They got to shut it down.
Yeah.
So he's going to stop playing, and I would guess at some point, they can't do it right away because Maxie's young and pretty healthy, but I would bet every other game, maybe we see Maxie questionable with a hamstring and he doesn't play.
Yeah.
And then the last week and a half, we probably don't see Maxie. We definitely, the last game of the year against the Bulls, we're not seeing Maxie. But that maybe Paul George doesn't want to be podcasting during his fake injury, too.
Ah, so it's like preemptive. He's just getting ahead of it.
Well, and...
It's a couple times you done made a lot of sense today, man.
Well, also, can you imagine what they post clips to it all the time. Can you imagine what the responses to the clips are?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Right now?
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, you're right.
Because they suck, you know? Podcast.
Yeah, he's probably starting to realize that people are like, man, get off this damn podcast.
Yes.
Well, especially if it comes out that they're shutting him down, and then he's recording podcasts on top of that.
Yes.
That's a tough optic.
Yeah, bad luck.
Maybe for a little pinky injury.
Maybe the Sixers had to shut him down. Maybe they had to sit him down and go, hey, look.
Hold on, this is a finger injury?
Yeah, but...
I thought it was Maxie who had the finger.
No, it's Paul George who... Remember, I think I mentioned it. When he first had the injury, they didn't say what it was. And for the podcast, we got an email from a doctor, a hand doctor. And he said, he explained what he has. And he said, with that injury, if you don't put a splint on it for 6 to 8 weeks and never, ever take the splint off, the finger will heal bent or something.
That's why you see a lot of football players whose fingers are like that.
Baldy.
Yeah.
So I forget what he said the name of it was, but I think he has to keep. Yeah. So he's been playing with the splint on the left hand.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what the reason is before the pinky injury for his.
Right. He was really trying to channel his inner Kobe.
Yeah. Oh yeah, play through it.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember
real warrior.
Yeah, Shams reported he was getting injections all the time so he could play through it.
Yeah,
or his pinky.
Well, yeah, they kissed the knee too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm like, damn, what is going on with this pinky?
Well, what it is, I think it's
is
when
it broken, dislocated,
the tendons rip away from the bone or something. Yeah. It sounds horrible.
It's a basketball injury. I know what that is. Yeah,
it sounds horrible.
Used to get stretched. I'm not saying it's a basketball injury like it doesn't bother you. I'm saying it's one of those injuries you usually get in basketball.
When I was in high school, I'll never forget, we were playing pickup basketball. This kid, Jay Siervo, we're playing with him, and he would never talk. He he was a quiet guy. He's playing, and we keep playing the game, and he's like telling us to stop, but very quietly. And he holds his finger up, and his finger was dislocated and all mangled.
I've had that.
It scared me for 5 years playing basketball that my finger was going to get dislocated.
Oh, yeah. I've had that a couple times. Yeah, this finger was pointing that way.
Oh.
Yeah, it was pointing like that.
Bravo.
Gross.
Got caught in a jersey, or even got caught in a jersey or a helmet or something. And you look at it, and you're like, because it looks deformed.
Yeah.
And then somebody has to pop that thing, has to pop it back in.
Last gross basketball injury. It was the Final Four where it was Syracuse, Temple, UMass, Arkansas. I was in college.
Temple was in the Final Four?
Not Temple. Syracuse, UMass, Arkansas.
Duke.
No, Kansas. No, Kentucky. It was Kentucky.
Kentucky? Okay.
It was Kentucky because it was when.
That's the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, it was
those
the
guys.
Syracuse with John Wallace and Otis Hale, those guys. So we went to the Final Four. We drove down from Syracuse, and my friend Nick had family in Connecticut, so we stayed with them. The 12-year-old son had a 7-foot hoop, jumped up to dunk it. The net got caught in his teeth, and it ripped part of his jaw away from his...
How the hell did that happen?
He went up, and his teeth got caught in the net.
Bro, I've been playing basketball all my life, and my teeth ain't never been caught in the net.
Well, that might have something to do with your vertical.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, well. It was a 7-foot rim.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what the hell?
Yeah. It sounds horrible.
Yes.
Horrible. All right. coming up next, we do have some supporters in the Tush Push mission across the NFL, non-Eagles employees.
Yeah.
We will hear from those coaches next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Heaven save me, but I'm down to a last breath. And will it let me say, let me say, hold me now, I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking, maybe 6 feet ain't so far down. Hold me now, I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking, maybe 6 feet ain't so far down. I'm so far down. It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Final check-in on our Twitter question, which is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Do the Eagles need to acquire a star defensive player this offseason or no? 73.4% say no. I was late getting back here for Creed because I heard our most famous part-time producer, Luke with the deep voice, is here, who I don't believe that I've ever met. Maybe I met him and I don't remember him.
No, yeah. There's no way.
I haven't?
Unless he didn't speak with you, Manny, because there's no way you wouldn't remember that voice.
Can you, Jack, see if he'll come in? I just want to, can we have him say stuff?
Oh, we got to have him come in.
Well, yeah. Also, I mean, imagine his voice during 5:30 Creed.
Yeah.
Oh,
grab him, Justin.
No. Yeah, we got to get him in.
Tell Justin to grab him.
It's outrageous. I had never heard him before. I heard him during our Christmas break, during Middays. Mm-hmm. I think he was producing Middays. I was like, what the hell is that? And
that was my reaction, too.
I got a text from our friend Wolfie, who works for the Stern Show, and he was like, you got to get me that guy's number. I need to put him on with Howard. And I said, I don't know who it is. I've never met that guy. So
he went on the Howard Stern Show?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
we
wow.
We played audio it.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
you've been so focused on trying to get back in the delegation.
Well, yeah, I am. Yeah. Yes. I'm, mayonnaise is blocked out. Everything else is blocked out.
Well, and because Stern Show has had numerous Bigfoots on, like guys with deep voices. Howard loves that. And now I have to see it coming out of your, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to treat you like a freak, Luke. But people need to hear this. There it is.
You're all good.
Dude, you're doing it on purpose.
I'm not doing it on purpose. I swear, this is just how it happens.
Holy cow.
I don't know.
You're like Broad, slowed down.
Yeah. Yes. You're like listening to a podcast at 0.5 speed or whatever. That's wild.
Yeah, it's just, I think it dropped when I was like 13.
I was going to say.
That's usually the first question, so.
Yeah, when you started sounding like
that. What dropped when you were
13? Yeah, something dropped when he was 13.
Down to the floor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I think people started talking about it like early high school, I want to say. And that's when I started to pick up on, oh, I do sound like this. But for the most part, I don't hear it. Like,
right,
I don't
you
think
just, yeah, you just talk.
It sounds like me to me, and to everybody else it sounds. Yeah. Oh my God, is that real?
So. Because when you hear you, and you're young, you're probably not a Stern listener, right? You were never.
Not really.
So when you hear Luke, you think of, there have been two different Bigfoots on Stern. Okay. And, you know, one of them was years and years ago. He passed away. They have another guy. But they've always had guys that sound like that, but they look like George Murison or something.
Yeah, he asked me, he's like, are you 7'2" and have giant hands?
Yes.
Like, nah, I'm just 6'2", normal looking.
Yeah, the first.
You look like you're about 18 years old, honestly, 18, 19 years old.
Yeah, pretty much.
The first Bigfoot used to work the door at 15 North and Westchester every once in a while, so I'd see him there, and he did. He had those
huge hands,
giant feet or whatever.
Yeah. Well, because Luke kind of sounds like when they're trying to protect the guy's voice that's being
anonymous voiceover thing.
Yeah.
So tell us, how did you kill him? Yeah. Yeah, seriously. It's like we have Boban Lukmanovic or whatever over here. Yeah,
that's true.
Now this is what you want to do for a career. Did you want to be a sports talk host or a play-by-play guy? Because you would be a legendary play-by-play guy.
I do play-by-play on the side. I do play-by-play for Swarthmore basketball. I just did the Philadelphia Public League Championships on Sunday.
Okay.
I do football and baseball and a whole lot of stuff.
Did Father Judge win their first like Catholic?
They did. That was the PCO. They beat Roman.
Who are you laughing at?
We're looking at him. It doesn't seem like it's real.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's real.
It does seem
I have a voice modulator in my pocket this entire time.
It really does seem like you're on 2020 and they're trying to disguise your voice or something because you committed a murder.
Yeah.
Could we? I know you're on Howard, but I feel like we need to use this. If we were to, not right now, but if we were to give you some famous Philadelphia sports moments, do you think you could do the play-by-play of it and we could listen to it? Like as if you called Bedlam at the bank, if you called, you know, Jalen's touchdown to Devontae Smith. I would love to hear that.
I mean, sure. I'd be doing a terrible disservice to the actual calls.
Well, yeah,
I want you to call it like you.
I don't want you to call it like they would have called it.
Yeah, sure.
This is incredible. Yeah. You're incredible. You're quite an asset here at WIP.
I'm going to tell you, Luke, I know this dude. He's going to find good use for
you.
I know this dude.
I appreciate it.
Well, he already
hooked me up with Stern Wolfie. And Wolfie.
Yeah. Well, Wolfie, so I grew up as a Stern guy. I grew up listening to Howard Stern. When I saw Wolfie's text, because I heard you, when I first heard you, it was while we were off, and I turned on the radio, and I think maybe you were producing for Buzz and somebody. I forget what it was, and I heard, and I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I was like, who the hell, what the hell is that?
What is that? And especially because now you were, I think, even more laid back when you're producing, so it was even deeper, and when I saw... And I haven't met you, have I, before now?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Maybe just in like a passing by.
Right. So when Wolfie texted me, he was like, who was on the air yesterday? I need Howard to hear him. And I said, you mean the deep voice guy, right? He's like, yes, it's outstanding.
I appreciate you setting that up. It was something.
Yeah, being on Howard Stern. You kidding me, man?
Now, Luke, you were also in the building for when Paul Jolovitz said this.
Let me done. She's so hot.
What was your reaction to that?
I don't even know. I just started dying laughing back there. I couldn't go. Fran asked me, he's like, Luke, what do you think of all this? I'm just listening. I have no reaction to this.
Could you?
I can't even put it into words.
Could you say, Livy Dunn, she's so hot?
In that same tone?
Whatever tone.
Not in Jolly's voice.
Yeah.
Not in Jolly's voice? Okay, Livy Dunn, she's so hot.
I can't get enough. All right.
That's awesome.
Well, it's great to meet you, Luke, and thank you for being a good sport about it. I mean,
anytime. You
would have a long life if you weren't, and especially given what you want your job to be. So I look forward to seeing you in the hallways. And
welcome
to
the family, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
This is outrageous. We'll get those calls that we want you to do as well.
Sounds good. Thank you.
There he is. There he is, Luke, the great Luke. Are you
amazing.
Producing? Are you producing this evening?
Yeah, I'm going to be with Fritz for
Fritz
the first
at
hour,
6.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Why don't we have this grinder in here?
Yeah, well, why don't we have Fritz? Yeah, you finally doing Fritz at 6? Why don't we have Fritz stay in there? And why don't you just talk
Luke,
the whole time?
Let you host.
Yeah.
He'll be all right with that, right?
Yeah. Hey, no big deal.
All right. All right, Luke. Thanks
appreciate
so much,
it,
man. There he is, yes, the great Luke of WIP with his insanely deep voice. Incredible.
So you were like me. I was waiting to meet him as well one of these days.
Well,
Ike
said, hey, the deep voice, Luke, the deep voice guy is here. I ran out of the studio to go find him.
I ran out of the studio. Almost missed Creed.
Yeah, Ike's like, Creed. I'm like, now? I almost just went for the Luke anyway. Miss Creed.
We should have brought him in for next time we see him. 5:30 Creed with Luke's voice.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, man.
He puts me to shame.
Yes.
I don't even feel like I got a deep voice anymore.
Do you think
I feel like I'm a little kid around
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
Well, I know. Do you think he's... I mean, it's a great take by his parents, naming him Luke, and then like, Luke, I'm your father?
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
They probably were, yeah. They couldn't have known his voice was going to be like that.
I wonder if his dad's voice is...
I wonder if his mom sounds like that. I got to hear Luke's parents.
Get them all in, all in studio.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, make sure we get to know a little bit about Luke. Where is he from?
Facts about Luke.
That's Jack.
All Fritz at 6 is going to be tonight. It's more about Luke.
Yeah. Tell us about Luke.
Yeah, we don't care about what you have to talk
about.
No. I'm just talking about the film.
You know, we had heard from some NFL coaches who were anti-tush-push. Sean McDermott. coward, fraud, who actually uses it. He was against it. Raheem Morris against it. The Packers GM, I don't even know his name. He was against it as well.
But Gooners.
Bratwurst.
Jim Bratwurst. But there are a couple who voice support for it, real men, real football men. Mm-hmm. The first one being Jalen's nightmare, actually. Tampa Bay Bucks head coach Todd Bowles. Here's what he had to say.
I think it's a rugby element, but at the same time, when a team gets something that they're good at, you got to learn how to stop it. I don't think the first thing you can do is try to take it out of the ball game. Well, that takes away the creativity of everybody trying to do everything else. So mm-hmm. I learn how to stop it. Until we learn how to stop it, I mean, they're going to continue. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
There you go. You got to learn how to stop it. That's what you should say. That's what a defensive coach would say, right? You got to learn how to stop it. That's why Sean McDermott's such a fraud. Because he's a defensive coach.
And on top of how much, he used it the second most of anybody.
Right. If it's not fair, what are you doing? And then another football guy, psychotic, Jim Harbaugh, had this to say.
How do you feel about the tush push? This is very topical. How much of a conversation is actually happening behind the scenes about maybe getting rid of it? And how much are you guys being actually listening to, you think?
I'm not really involved in it. I mean, right now it's a legal play. You gotta stop it or get good at it at running it yourself.
There you go.
Well, Herbert's not running the tush push.
No, probably
he's
not.
Definitely not running the tush push.
Pretty boy.
Yeah. See how many interceptions he threw in the playoffs there?
Oh,
that guy?
Man, with 16?
They should have had him.
Stinks.
Tush pushing.
Bench him.
Yeah. Yep. 215-592-9494. Rick in Easton. You're on WIP. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. Talking about the Phillies real quick before I get to the Sixers.
Uh-oh.
So is the tail wagging the dog now? If there's any truth to the thought that Harper would consider moving in the lineup where the Phillies want him if they pay him an additional $100 million,
well,
doesn't that put us in a little bit of a trouble situation?
Well, yeah, Spike Eskin reported that earlier.
No, I didn't report it. It was just we were just thinking out loud about it. Here's what I think about it. Here's what I think is more likely than him just saying no. I think Topper is like, He's a manager, knows his guys. He knows if he wrote two on the lineup card, I think Bryce would go
Bryce
out there,
would go up there
and
hit
two. But I think Topper's like, I know he doesn't really want to do it. I want to get the best out of him. It's my job to get the best out of him. It's my job to put him in position to win. And I think Topper's like that. And I think from a Dombrowski perspective, I think it's possible. I'm not saying he drew a line and said
you earlier when you reported it.
That's not what I said. But what I do think is that he's not going to get involved in getting the guy to do something he doesn't want to do if that cloud, the extension cloud, is over them. As far as the tail wagging the dog, that's what I think the problem is with this with the Phillies as a team.
As a whole. I agree more.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think Topper's a good manager, and I think at the time he was what they needed. But I think at this point that there are so many things that these guys can do but choose not to. And I don't think that there is – I don't think that there's an accountability there for them. And I don't think they're worried about anything. And I don't think they're worried about consequences. And I do think whether it's a player or the manager or that there has to be a culture of – we don't do that here. And I think the players are so comfortable with each other and they're so comfortable with Topper that they're not pushed into positions that might not be the best for them or the best that they're most comfortable in, but might be better for the team. And that it's not, I didn't want Topper fired because I think he's a bad manager, but my point was if they're not going to shake up the clubhouse, then I don't think you can have the same guy in there because you can't just all of a sudden wake up one day and be a hard ass if that's not who you are. This is not what he does well, and the players wouldn't. I don't think players would respect it.
They would not react well to
it. No, because it's not who he is. It's not who he is. So,
Mike, I agree. I agree. I want to get to the Sixers, but I'm just thinking out loud. You know, the Yankees tell Judge where he's hitting second. The Dodgers tell Otani where he's hitting. Let's take a model. Let's follow that model and try to win a championship. Going to the Sixers if I could.
Well, real quick. Forgetting about Judge hitting second. Judge led off for a season.
Correct.
He led off.
That's
he's
correct.
The best home run hitter of the modern era, and he's hitting lead off because that's what the team wanted him to do.
That's my point. The era of the best hitter in your lineup hitting third has morphed and has evolved. And I think, Jack, I just think, and I know Jack's the baseball guy, I think we have to look at that and talk about that another day. I got to go with Sixers real quick.
Yeah.
So the writers, the media, forget me. I know nothing about basketball compared to football and baseball. Everybody tried to tell us Paul George was going to be a disaster. The only disagreement I had with you a few months ago, and I don't know how you exactly phrased it, but...
Are you talking to me? I'm sorry.
I'm talking to you now.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
If the Sixers, you know I respect you.
Yes.
If the Sixers would have pulled the trigger on that suggested idea that you had, Maxi for, you know, Giannis from Milwaukee, with Embiid and George's health, which was still greatly in the balance at that point, what would have happened now if we would have pulled the trigger on that trade?
Well, okay. So first of all, I don't think the Bucks would have done it.
Another Spike Eskin report.
I don't think the Bucks would have done it. Second of all, I do have a bit of a contention with everybody knew Paul George would be a disaster. The Sixers offseason was pretty roundly applauded by both national media. Like, everyone said, this is the best team, and no one that... I do think, to an extent, and I'm hard on Paul George now too, to an extent, the point of Paul George was a piece around Embiid, and Embiid is not playing. To an extent, that's what I'm saying. But I do think as well, as far as the idea of taking a big swing or whatever, I do think Maxi, from a trade value standpoint, has the most. And what I question with Maxi, I think he's a great player, is... that type of player, a small score-first guard, is just, I wonder, look, he's the player they have, and he's a great player, but even around Embiid, you know, he can fly around screens, that sort of stuff, but you don't need to pay $40 million for a guy who flies around screens and shoots threes. Like, those guys are out there. So I just wondered around Embiid whether he is the... Now that Embiid is... you know, gone, you know, maybe forever, having held on to Maxi, I think is a good move, if even for the franchise and even a valuable trade piece. I think there's a possibility that at some point Jared McCain is a player that might is more of a lead guard type of player. He's a better passer than Maxi. He moves a little bit better off the ball than Maxi. Maxi's a better player at this point. I don't know. All I wanted people to do with the Maxi for Giannis thing is just open up your mind to the possibility of trying to win a championship
now. Yep. I love thinking out of the box. And listen, I know we don't have a Jerry West, a Mitch Kupchak, a Danny Ainge, Pat Riley, Jerry Krause, but unless we do something in that front office, it's going to be a long time before we can, you know, even think about even going deep into the playoffs with this franchise.
Well, I mean, Pat, for what it's worth, I don't know that Pat Riley he's done a good job, but I don't know how great a job. They've had two fluke runs to the finals as eight seeds. It's good, but I don't know that he's built the best team in the world. Thank you for the call, Rick.
I don't want Jerry Krause.
No,
he's dead anyway.
Yeah, I believe that Daryl Morey is a great general manager. I do, and I do.
Let's not start that.
I do, and I like. I would, of all the names he named.
I don't think he's a bad general manager.
He's
a very good general manager.
Yeah, he certainly has a good resume of success in his career, and I think he has flaws about how he thinks about stars and so on and so forth. But I do think he has rebuilt on the run before, when Yao Ming was no longer able to play, when Tracy McGrady, he wasn't allowed to tank. Mm-hmm. He somehow turned that into, you know.
Imagine this about Morey.
Yeah.
Because because I like Daryl Morey. I didn't have any problem with them hiring Daryl Morey. I certainly was in favor of him not re-signing James Harden, giving mm-hmm. him a max deal. He moved on from him. I was good with that. This past summer, whatever, we can have revisionist history,
yeah,
what have you. But more about the Embiid thing. How much do you think ownership gave that directive?
I think it's possible.
Yeah, that's kind of, and that's the way I would kind of look at, because Morey almost seems like he's the type of guy who wouldn't do something like that.
I think Morey wants to invest in top five players. I do believe that part of what he said. And I don't like bringing up the ownership thing, because I feel like
from me, it sounds like I'm making an excuse for
Murray. No, but I'm asking it, though. Because I'm kind of wondering, is this more of a Josh Harris thing that got pushed for the stadium and all of that?
I think it is certainly possible that in the offseason, while they were pushing the city for a... Because here's what happens. If he doesn't give Embiid the extension, they do not get Paul George. Doesn't happen.
Sure.
So they have an offseason that is... There weren't any other big stars to get.
So basically, we wouldn't have got anything done.
They would have gotten spare parts. We would have had a spare part team. Now, you might say that's better because we don't have the Paul George thing, but... There's no other, and because Joel Embiid's not going to go recruit people if he doesn't get the extension, all that, you essentially have to trade Embiid. And then what happened, or you have an unhappy Embiid, and we have an offseason that doesn't look like anything.
Yep.
So if you're Josh Harris and you're trying to get a new arena built and you need the support of the, at least not negative public during that offseason, and you need a city that believes that you're investing in the team, Joel Embiid's contract is a weight on the team, but that money compared to what that venue is worth is a drop in the bucket.
Yep.
And it is definitely possible that he said that Daryl Morey and Elton Brand went to Josh Harris and he said, we think we can make this happen. Here are the risks.
Right.
And you have to tell us how comfortable you are with this risk. And Josh Harris said, and maybe they even said, look, the odds of Joel being, because anyone could have seen this. Daryl Morey's not an idiot. You can think whatever
what
you
I'm
want
saying,
of him.
Yeah.
Anyone could have seen the odds that Joel Embiid would be healthy, not just through a season. Mm-hmm. If you play 4 7-round series, how is Joel Embiid going to even play? Right. So you, if you're him, he could say, look, the odds of this happening are, it's possible, but it's slim. I certainly think it is possible that Josh Harris said, I do not need a star that is asking out. I don't need a public that thinks we're cheap. I need a splashy offseason. Daryl thought this is, and I don't think it was a bad plan, again, but it was a risky plan. And Daryl Morey to me... Now, the criticism I have is, and I told him this to his face, that he should have traded Ben Simmons before he did, is I think he holds on too long.
To get the deal that he wants.
He held on, Harden, I thought, now he got the deal that he wanted on Harden, and he didn't give up on Ben as early as I thought he should have given up on Ben. I think that might be his issue, but I certainly think it's possible that Josh Harris said, I don't need that this
summer. Yeah, I had to think about that. I'm like, it makes more sense that way that...
It certainly is possible.
Yeah. That makes more sense to me that way.
The text line is brought to you by Benari Jewelers. Don't settle for ordinary. Choose extraordinary. Choose Benari Jewelers at Exton and Newtown Square. Online at BenariJewelers.com.
Text line.
Spike. Oh my God. Spike, your kneecap is in your thigh. Spike. No, I just have 3 dog poop bags in my pocket. Frank and Ardmore.
3 is the magic number.
Yeah. Well, they're not dog poop bags with the poop in the bags.
No, yes. Yes, I wasn't swinging around a dog poop bag full of poop yesterday. It was an empty dog poop bag. And my advice... to any dog walker, I don't leave the house without 3 dog poop bags because you never know, and you don't want to be without.
So we got
one.
The type of leash that
you have
got,
them
got
on the
bag
thing.
And the leash. Yep. Yes, put them in the pocket.
What's next?
For once, I agree with Spike. You have to get players that are better than the ones leaving. Look at what happened with the Sixers getting a player worse than Tobias. Am I still allowed to call? Tasty Cake Dom.
Oh, yeah, Dom messaged me on Facebook, too, if he's allowed to do a victory lap on Paul George, because he's been saying it since the summer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's been always.
He already did.
Well, he gets a true victory lap.
Yeah, but he already did it.
He gets a lot of victory laps in the Sixers.
Yeah,
he takes his own victory laps.
Yes. Well, he's happy that they don't win. He doesn't want them to
win. No, he's diehard.
No, I don't know. He's a Tobias Harris diehard. What's next?
LOL. Paul George is even cooked as a podcaster now, too. Should I pick up my Sixers Insider of the Year award today or tomorrow? Elliot Shore Parks.
Elliot Fraud Parks. Tiny Dancer.
Tiny Dancer. That's a good one there.
By the way, he texted me from the plane again. And he said there's, quoting his own tweet as to why he should not be ripped, saying there's some obvious risk with this. Giving a 34-year-old a 4-year max contract has some potential to be a major problem very quickly.
Yes.
But the whole other tweet was, this is the best move in the history of the city.
Who didn't think there was risk? Yeah, no, Elliot. He has to concede.
No, you're right.
He has to concede.
Yep.
What's next?
You guys keep talking about Milton Williams and Josh Sweat leaving and not even addressing what happens with BG. If BG leaves, how are you going to replace the 32 sacks he had last season? Chris in Middletown.
Mariota had 6 sacks.
Oh, my God.
You guys missed that.
0 all time.
Yeah.
0.
That was
6 tackles.
That was classic.
Yeah.
He looked at the stat thing.
Yep.
And I saw the 6 as well. And that's why I had to go up to the top of the column to make sure I wasn't looking at it wrong.
Fraud. Chris, another fraud. What's next?
Odyssey secretly surveyed its affiliates, and the results for the morning show are in. Not using your position as host to get free stuff from Ron Jaworski? F. Keeping the number of people in studio under 25? F. Crying? A+. Mike in Havertown.
This is really...
That is the SAG-AFTRA.
It's a classic.
Yep. The SAG-AFTRA poll on the morning show. What's next?
Elliot doing player projections during preseason camp. I think you have to believe Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is going to take a big step forward. Because as the saying goes, the tree doesn't fall far from the apple. Joe and Drescher.
Text line.
Fresh breath air.
Hit it again. Oh, did you play?
A fresh breath air.
Well, wow. we coming up next, we have Luke at 6.
Yeah, Luke's in.
Luke at 6 featuring producer Jack Fritz. So, Jack, what's coming up on Fritz at 6? Fritzy at 60.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, we're talking Phils. Come on, man.
Okay. Hey, enough fighting.
Yeah, come on. Like, are we still mad? Or can we get excited about the season?
I would like to get excited.
Oh, he wants us to get excited.
Yeah, listen, they're going to sleepwalk the 90 wins. Can we?
Oh, we're going to sleepwalk the 90 wins.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah. But can we just get a little bit more excited? Blah, the bats are going to go cold in October.
He's already trying to make up for his high hopes, Jackie Baseball Report, calling out Bryce a little bit. He's already trying to make it up.
No, that will be addressed again.
Get excited.
Be addressed again. Okay. No, I was actually laughing because I just, like, this comment from Ike was just underrated at the end of the show.
Damn sure don't want Jerry Krause.
No.
He's dead.
Yeah.
You just don't let anything go.
Yeah, Jerry Krause is known as the guy that ruined the
Bulls.
Took apart the Bulls. Yeah.
I think that Jordan was still ripping him in the
documentary.
While he's dead. He doesn't even care that he's dead.
He is.
Jordan turns
he's
a killer.
Problem.
He's a killer.
Ruthless.
All right. Fritz
Your
at 6.
Boy, LeBron could never.
He could never.
Fritz LeBron's about to win a title this year.
Oh, all right. Lucas about to win the title. Fritz at 6, once again, carried. First carried Kyrie. First Wayne Wade carried him, then Kyrie carried him. Now he's going to get carried
Anthony
by Luka.
Anthony Davis carried.
Anthony Davis carried. Well, that title didn't even count anyway. Mickey Mouse title. All right, Fritz at 6 featuring Luke is next, and then TK takes you through the evening. We will talk to you tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening.